Yes, another. Yeah. I said I'd do something different this morning.
I like it.
Yeah. You know, Robert said you're just a handsome devil first thing in the morning.
I don't know where he came up with that one.
I gotta tell you, Robert, he's not often wrong. You are a handsome devil first thing in the morning. Just, you know, so.
It all goes downhill from here.
Right. I have no idea what's wrong with me.
It's early.
I think I have a defect. Possibly more than one.
I was going to say, I know some people that might vouch for that.
Vouch for that, yeah. Yeah, we know. There's a lot of people that vouch for that. So how was your deal Saturday behind the counter there with the guys from Penn and Star?
It was good.
And everybody?
It was busy. Yeah. It was real good.
It's weird. It's a lot of fun to work hard, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I mean, most people, they're like, oh, man, I got to go to work and all that. But, I mean, I'm sorry. I think work can be one of the most fun things you do.
Well, especially when you work here.
Well, I do have an advantage over most.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I get to set the tone and I'm crazy and mean. I'm, you know, yelling at everybody and all that. But it's still a lot of fun.
Yeah. I believe I told you this before the tent sale. You know, being with Penn and Star, I get to go do a bunch of shows all over the place. And this is the only one that's really fun. The tent sale is the only one that's really fun. The rest of them are kind of a pain. Everybody's mean and wanting something. And the customers here are happy. They're in line and they know it and they don't care.
they're like us. They're just having a good time.
Yep.
And they forgave me for the long lines. As long as I don't do it again, they'll forgive me for screwing it up once. You know,
right.
Okay, Frank, you messed it up. Now fix it.
And right.
Then they just move on. They're just really terrific people.
Yep. And
that's the one thing. Everybody says that. All the vendors, everybody else, they do nothing but brag on the clientele.
Mm-hmm.
We literally have the best clientele in the world.
Absolutely. And
people think I'm sucking up, but it's absolutely true.
Yep.
I don't know what it is, but I think it's because there's a real world out there, then there's the Fish and Frank's world.
Yeah, when you enter the door, you go into another dimension, I think.
Yeah, I think we've actually been able to get some kind of portal thing going. So once you come in, you know. But I mean, it's like once you're here, okay, you're on your way. It, relax, slow down.
Yep.
Don't let the world.
Like I was telling, I think I was telling you a couple days ago when I was running late. I hate it when I'm running late because I have a pattern. You know, I get in here, I hang out for a little while, I relax, I wake up, get ready for the day. And if I don't get that, the whole day's shot.
That's it, you know, and it's true. And I guess I could really get to that because of the amount of people who come in on their off time just to kind of relax. They're going by. They go, nah, I just want to stop. It's nuts out there.
Right.
So anyway, you were fishing yesterday. Well, you've been fishing almost every day.
Every day this week and most of them last week. And
when's the last time you got to do a hunting trip?
I took your dad.
Yeah.
Sunday after the tent sale. That was it.
Yeah, you haven't been able to go hunting much.
Nope.
You've been out there on the boat. Now, thank God for that big V on the front of your boat yet.
Yes, the last couple of days have been nautical, to say the least.
Yes. Arr, matey.
Yep.
Yeah, she's the seas are angry today.
They have been
angry.
Yes.
So, in regards to the angry seas, dear me hearty, how was it coming back?
I tell you what's funny is the wind has been blowing like crazy, and you would figure that would keep a lot of people off the water. But yesterday, it was like Memorial Day or 4th of July. I don't know what it was. There was boats everywhere.
Well, you know, back when I was a real charter boat guy, I used to run into that. And my first rule, because I had the you're out there, right? And you're going down, and you go, oh, I'm going to go in here and go fishing.
No, I'm not. Somebody's already there.
And I'm going to, nah, well, I'll just go over here.
No, I'm not.
Well, I can just make it into this little cut. There's a little cut here in the back, and we'll just go in there and catch some fish.
Nobody will be there. Oh, yeah.
Somebody's there. So I learned, you know, but you were under the gun because you were out by Placida, weren't you?
I was. I put in with Placida.
And that's tougher. Up here, I can always go out where I can head up the river. I can go up the Peace River. Right. I can go up the Maca River. You go way back into the Cutoff or, you know, up in
there's
the
there's a lot more places to hide.
Yeah, you can hide up here much easier.
Yeah, I ran down into Pine Island Sound from Placida because I went by Widden Creek and all that over there. And it was, I bet there was 30 boats in that bay. And I went, okay, well, I know we're not fishing today. Let me go to the Sound.
And
it didn't get any better down there, but it's kind of funny. It made me do some stuff, fish some places that I hadn't fished in years, and you know, maybe try new places. But
you caught fish.
Oh yeah, it worked out really good.
Yeah, I don't know. We're having all these power surges here. If you're an electrician listening to this, I'm in dire need of one. I went over and thought, well, I'll talk to Sean over at Soundworks. He says, no, the power's not flickering here. We have a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm calling an electrician today. We've got a big major short somewhere because the power just keeps, the lights go dim, the line machine slows down, and everything comes back on. Uh-oh.
So, yeah, it's kind of funny. We, like I said, everywhere I wanted to go, there was a boat. So I went over in this one little bay that I hadn't fished in probably 5 years. There's one spot in this bay I wanted to get to. Well, there was a boat in the one spot in the bay that I wanted to get to. So I just, there was a deep shoreline. I just randomly said, screw it, I'm stopping here. There's nobody here. There's a little bit of water. It looks good. Let's try it. Started catching redfish. So.
Sometimes the gods are kind to you.
They were kind to me. Yeah. Even after all the craziness at the boat ramp and the kayakers wanting to cut in between me and 100.
Now, if you pull up to a boat ramp and you look and the concrete is 3 times wider than your boat, that means you should be on either the left side or the right side.
That's correct.
You should not be on the middle side.
Right.
And if you're on the middle side and somebody backs in next to you, believe it or not, they're actually correct and you're actually wrong.
I had to explain that to a gentleman yesterday morning.
Yeah. The boat ramps are made two, three times wider than normal boats so that two boats can launch.
It's not so that you can back down it crooked. It's so that you can pick a side and stay over there.
All right. You get the left, you get the right, but you can't have the middle.
That's right.
But anyway, so. But, you know, I preach on that all the time, though. When I was on a charter, I would be going along, and I know I would have a very, very good idea of where I was going to go and what fish I would do. But then I would just randomly, for no reason at all, stop and fish a shoreline for a few minutes.
Right.
Because some of the times, you know, like you found out, you caught a lot of redfish.
You had
a good day.
I had a really good day. And not just redfish, black drum, sheep's head, nice trout. I mean,
and because
snapper.
It was a random spot.
Absolutely. I don't think I'm pretty sure I've never fished that spot ever before in my life.
And I used to preach that, well, I still preach that all the time. Go along and hit a random spot and just go, okay, well, I usually fish over there. I'm going to just stop here just to find out what it's like.
Right.
Some of the best days I've ever had fishing and some of the worst spots I've ever found all were just because I made a left turn.
Right.
Hey, Clyde, left turn.
Right.
You know, that's it.
It worked for me yesterday, I got to say.
So
I may have to start doing that a little more often.
All right. What were you using for bait?
Shrimp on a jig head.
Okay. And so you got shrimp on a jig head. What color jig head?
I used silver, chartreuse, and red yesterday.
Yeah. Didn't seem to matter.
I've never been able to tell the difference. I know some guys swear by this color, swear by that color.
Well,
I have personally never been able to see the
difference. Been a couple of guys on that say, man, I was fishing this, and I switched over to this and just bang, 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 bang.
Right.
So, not sure. I don't think when they're ready to eat, anything makes a difference.
Put food
in front of them.
Well, my thing is, with a jig head, I think if you had, maybe, it comes into play more when you put an artificial lure on it, a soft body on it. But when you got a hunk of shrimp on there, the shrimp's doing most of the work, I think.
Yeah, but I still think that sometimes the color might make them notice it or upset them
right.
or not notice it or right. whatever, but
it may
or scare them off. Right. Oh my God, that's you know, I don't know what the heck that is. You know, you never know. I mean, because
and you don't know. None of we all like to think we know what fish want,
right?
Kind of like women. We like to think we know what women want, but we have no idea.
But you know, you could be sitting there and you know you're throwing red and or you're throwing chartreuse. The other guy's throwing red. And oh, wait a minute, stop. I'm sorry. But you know, that could be how a fish feels. He sees right. the wrong color and goes, ah, runs off to the next right. thing. You know, we need a new producer, don't we? We really do.
So, and I've never been able to tell the difference, honestly. And I've tried, but I don't know.
Yeah, but that's what life's about. Try, fail. But now look at you. You stopped on a new shoreline. Now, okay, shrimp on a jig head is how you were fishing.
Yep.
Upward hop with a rod?
Nope. Throw it and let it sit.
Throw it and let it sit.
Yeah.
Now, live shrimp, dead shrimp, make a difference?
They were live. I just pinched the tail off and thread them on a jig head.
So, but really wasn't making a big difference whether they had live ones or dead ones. It
probably would not make a difference at that point, no.
Because sometimes they got the little pinchers and snappers going, you right. know. Because shrimp actually have claws. They're tiny, but they are claws.
Right.
I mean, they tear apart their food with the claws.
Right. So. Yeah, it probably would not have mattered. I mean, they're pretty much dead. You pinch their tail off and put them on a jig head, they can't really move very much.
Yeah.
So.
No, I'm just kind of curious. Now, did you find them, were the fish kind of under the trees or out a little bit in the trough? No,
these fish were way under the trees.
Way under the trees?
Way under the trees. It was in the afternoon, and the tide had got real high. And that sun was out, and they were way under the trees. If you didn't get underneath the bushes, you did not get a bite.
That's critical need to know yep. information.
Yep.
You know, if you ain't in the right spot. Because if you were throwing 6 feet out, 5 feet out, 3 feet out from the trees.
It was like 2 feet out if you were throwing.
If you weren't
if under. If you weren't in that shade, you were not getting a bite. Well, you're getting bites, but it was pinfish.
So this is the time where you got to learn to get that rod tip down low.
Yep.
And really basically like skipping a stone trying to get them back in there.
Yep. And once you get the bite is the fun part.
Down and dirty with the rod.
I taught my customers yesterday how to bury a rod tip in the water and walk backwards. Yeah. You have a boat. Get away.
You remember JR? He was the epitome of down and dirty. He'd grab that rod, stick the tip out of the water, and start at the back of the boat and run to the front of the boat. And sometimes he'd even stop when he ran out of boat.
Sometimes.
Every once in a yeah. while. Fool right off the front of the boat so many times.
Yep.
He get all excited with the redfish, and off he'd go running, and the next thing you know, splash! He's reeling the fish in from underwater.
I've been there. So
it's, yeah, always remember to stop before you run out of boat.
That's right. And that's a big thing. A lot of people don't think about that. You know, everybody wants to fight a fish straight up and down and pull like it's a marlin. Well, when the tree's underneath the boat, or when the fish is underneath the trees...
Well, you hook the fish 4 feet, 6 feet under the trees. That means you have 4 to 6 feet of branches over the top of right. your line. So as soon as you lift the line up, where is it?
Yep, it's in the branches.
So if you get your rod tip down 6 inches underwater, now you're pulling straight with the fish.
Right, you're pulling him out from underneath it instead of trying to pull him through
and
it.
And even if they go sideways, there's a reasonably good chance they're not going to snag on the branches. Right. And once the fish clears the trees, then you bring that rod tip up right. and you fight him like a normal fish. But right. under the branches, true definition of dammit fishing, it's either dammit's a good cast or dinging them in the trees. Right. You know, there's no in-between on yeah. that.
And I'll tell you. I tell my customers all the time, you know, they get thrown in the trees and they get mad. I said, hey, my dad used to tell me, if you're not getting hung up, you're not getting close enough.
You're just not trying.
Right.
And nothing was more frustrating as a captain, you know, than somebody. Now, to me, I know other captains get very frustrated when people hang them in the trees because they got to tie a new bait right. on. But to me, the frustrating part was when they're 6-8 feet from the trees because right. they don't want to get hung up and look bad.
Right.
But they're not catching fish. Right. And that makes me look bad. Oh, I'd yeah. rather be retying.
Right.
And getting them on there, retying.
Or let me cast it for you. You know.
Oh,
guys have this thing, this macho attitude that I cannot cast for them. But sometimes, like yesterday, a foot makes a difference between catching a fish and not catching a fish. And if you are just not capable of getting it, that extra 12 inches,
mm-hmm.
let somebody else that can if you want to catch a fish.
Well, I mean, what they don't realize is a matter of practice. You do this right. all the time. And So they're used to casting, but they're used to casting on an open lake.
Right.
And they're very good at it. They know right where to throw, and they can get that right on the, you know, if you put a ring on the water, they could throw in that ring right. 8 times out of 10. But when you're throwing 40, 50 feet, and you have to be less than 6 inches above the water, and you cannot be a foot to the left or the right.
Right.
It's a whole different style.
Absolutely. You know, and they they get this attitude, but they don't want anybody to cast for them. So luckily, right. my guys yesterday let me cast for them, and it was that's fine. You know, I don't look down on you if you let me cast for you.
I had a trip where, I mean, we had to stay way back. I mean, we were easy 60-plus feet away from the mangroves, and it had to go in a little hole about 4 feet wide and about a foot and a half high. If we got it in there, we got a fish every time I was able to get it in there. Well, it got to the point I wasn't having my best day. Usually, I could just pinpoint it in there. Well, I'd cast over there, hit the trees above it, and break it off. And every fourth cast, I could get it in there, and they would catch fish. And in the meantime, while they're catching the fish, I'm retying all the rigs I did. Well, it got to be every time I'd get it in the hole, they'd all stand up and applaud and cheer, you know, just to make me feel really good.
You know? No. And that's the other one I love is when you make those casts like that. A lot of my customers always ask me, "Man, you're good. How'd you do that? That's amazing." Well, I tell them, you do something a couple hundred thousand times.
Well, it's either not
good.
That.
You either good at it or you quit.
And there's something else in your head. I'm not. If I don't get this baited there, I'm not getting right. paid. I need to exactly. get paid. And exactly. there's a big motivation there. I want to eat and live indoors. You know.
That's right.
So if I don't get that bait up under that tree, I'm not getting paid. You know? I hate to boil it down to that, but I mean, I can remember many times out there going, God, I really need the money, really need the money. I got to catch fish.
Yep.
And boy, I would make some of the most spectacular casts you've ever seen in your life.
Yep.
There's a big motivator there.
Exactly.
I'm hungry. I want dinner.
Exactly. Sleep outside, or sleep in this boat, or sleep in my bed. I think I'd sleep in my bed.
Yeah. I don't want to lose the house this month.
Yep. Oh, that's funny. That seems to be the life of a charter captain anyways.
What's really amazing is we're just on the cusp of where the bait fish are going to be starting to come back and all that. And the fish would like to have the bait fish, but the bait fish aren't here. But you're really still, if you could get bait, you still got to have shrimp with you.
Absolutely. I don't go anywhere without shrimp, Frank.
It's
any time of year. I don't care what... I don't go tarpon fishing without some shrimp with me.
Tarpon. Shrimp is still the best tarpon bait of all.
Right.
I don't care. Crabs, white baits, red fins, all the rest of that. There is nothing. But the problem is, when the tarpon are here the thickest, shrimp don't actually live here. The eggs float in, they hatch, the shrimp all grow up, and then as adults, they move into the Gulf.
Right.
And that's why you see so many shrimp boats out there right now. The harbor's just decimated with shrimp boats. But, you know, the tarpon are here, the big shrimp are not. If you can find big shrimp during tarpon season, you have the most rocking bait there is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything eats shrimp. I mean, and I'm especially redfish. I've never seen... I mean, redfish are designed to be crustacean eaters. They're made to eat crabs or shrimp.
Yeah,
I mean,
their mouth is way down on the bottom. Right. They got that big, blunt nose. They can dig in the bottom.
That's what they do.
Well, that's what tailing's all about. People think they're not right. tailing for whitebait.
Right.
And a whitebait are up by the top.
Right.
They get down there, and they push that nose in. They move the dirt around, right. and they pick up crabs and shrimp. And
a redfish is never going to swim by a shrimp. You know, I mean, maybe he will, but that's what he eats. Like that's what he's looking for.
Like most people, I'm kind of a pizza fanatic, and, you know, I love eating pizza, even bad pizza sometimes.
Right.
I mean, I really like it no matter which way it is.
Right.
But that doesn't mean every time I drive by a pizza place, I stop and get a slice, right. you know. I mean...
Yeah, but if you were walking through this office and there's a piece of pizza, or a box of pizza sitting there...
I'm much more likely to take it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really hard for me just to walk by an open box
exactly.
of pizza. So, that's a good point. A very good point, Josh. You know, I've made these other analogies many times, but yeah, that is spot on.
I mean, I'm serious. If I'm going red fishing, I'm taking shrimp. I don't care about anything else.
Really completes the analogy. That's perfect. But anyway, so you caught sheephead?
We did. We caught a couple of big sheep's head in that same spot. Caught about a 24-inch black drum. some oversized redfish, some slot-sized redfish.
That's snapper. A nice day.
Yeah.
That's a nice day.
I went from zero to hero real quick because I struggled before that.
Well, I'm glad you had a nice day.
Yeah.
You know, I just, life is like a box of fish.
Yeah.
You open it up, you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, that's every morning at the boat ramp. You never know what you're going to have, you know?
You know, I do sometimes miss doing all the charters. I'm very unbelievably happy standing in the little store being Fish and Frank nowadays. And but sometimes I do miss that. But then, like you said, okay, we're over there. You caught a lot of fish. You had a great day. But yeah. Now you had to get home.
Oh, yeah. We had to get home. That part. Yeah. That was unfun.
But you
it wasn't bad actually.
You run the queen. Boat. You run the Queen Mary.
Exactly.
So you're in this. You've got the big V in the front. I mean the big flare, the whole bit. So you didn't drown coming back.
No, we actually didn't even get a drop of water on us the whole way back, and it was.
But now tell the truth. If you were like me and you're running through all this chop and this pounding and you're a little puckered up. I mean.
Oh yeah, I was in this bay and I felt the wind blowing up in this bay and I went. This is going to be not good on the way home because I've got about 12 miles of open water to go, and dead right. Into the wind the whole way.
And I can tell you, I was out there one day and it was bad. Now, I was doing good because I knew where I was going and I picked my course to get across the wind.
Right.
My push pole came off. And I got the guys in the boat. I could not turn the boat around safely to go get the push pole. I had to abandon a $250 push pole because if I would have turned around, I could have easily gotten big trouble.
Oh, yeah.
There, sometimes you just, you know.
I've been, especially in the past, in situations like that. I remember fishing a tournament a couple years ago, and we were fishing in the past for tarpon. Went back inside to catch our snook and redfish, and when I left the pass, it was scary.
Right.
I mean, and I grew up offshore fishing, and I've fished all day in 10-foot seas. And when I get scared, there's a reason I get scared.
Well, what I hate is if you're there and you got the wind blowing one way and the tide going
the
other.
That's exactly what happened to us.
And that's when they don't come as waves; they come and they come up kind of like a washing an agitator.
Right.
So the waves aren't coming at you where you can pick a pattern to work with.
Right.
They're just coming straight up and then they go down again and they push up.
Yeah.
And but yeah, it gets a little flaky, but that's the great thing about your boat.
Yeah.
If you've got good sides on it, you got, you know, it's got that huge bow.
Yep.
And
I tell you, it rode great yesterday. I mean, the waves were not big. Waves are funny. You know, you think when the wind's blowing real hard, there's these big, gigantic waves. Well, wind makes chop more than it makes waves, usually,
right.
You know. So there was like this foot and a half, 2-foot chop the whole way to Placida from Pine Island Sound. And luckily, the wind was blowing hard enough, it had them stacked close together, where I could just stay on top of them and kind of skip across the top of them.
But that's the nice thing about having the long boats.
It bridges
your
that
boats,
gap.
My boats. We do those. Over 20-foot, 23s, right. 24s. And the reason I pick them is so that I can get across all those waves.
Right.
Sometimes it's a little hard to get back in a creek or something, but when I get out in the open and I've got to get back, I'm spanning 4, 5, 6 waves.
Right.
You know, I'm not, you know, hitting one and then going down and hitting the next one. We're just right across the top of them.
And that's what I found yesterday. I ran back from Pine Island Sound all the way to Placida, 38 mph all the way. Just stay up on top of it.
Get up on top and run, and it was good. And that I was, to be quite honest, I was not really, you know, sure about your choice of boats, but I've been proved that what an amazing choice of boat.
I love that boat. I wouldn't trade that boat for anything.
I was shocked when, because it doesn't draft like my skiff does. I mean,
no.
But it needs, goes close enough.
It needs legitimately 13, 14 inches of water.
Right.
Which is not bad.
But on the other hand, there's so many places to go.
Right.
And you get back safely.
What I like about it is I get back, my customers' backs don't hurt, we're not soaking wet.
Right.
When I get a decent day, I can go out in the Gulf and play, I can cross the harbor, I can run from Port Charlotte Beach Complex to Mat Lachey and not have to worry about, you know, running the inside. I can do whatever I want in that boat.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, like I say, I was a little suspect, a little hesitant about it, but wow, what a great choice.
Yeah, I love it.
I was actually applauded your choice many a time since then, because let's face it, the vast majority of our customers and your clients come through the winter months and spring months when we have cold fronts, you know, and all this stuff. In the summer, we get a lot of rains and all that other stuff. Right. But it's not the same. It can go from nothing to nasty down here real quick on the water.
Absolutely.
You're standing on your porch and you're going, God, it's a beautiful day out. It's so nice. But the trees and the houses block the wind. Once you get out in the open,
right,
it goes up and down real quick. Mm-hmm. And great choice of boat.
Well, you know, it's got...
I like the new remodel. I know we should be talking more about in-depth fishing, but the remodel on your boat's very cool. You put the kind of half tower step up in it.
Put the box in it and elevated it, removed everything that was not necessary, and
lightened it way up, and
lightened it up, opened it up. It's nice. So,
but you got pictures on it on the link that we're going to, so everybody can see. We'll quit talking about that. What's your best? You got a trip today. You're heading down towards Fort Myers.
I am. I'm fishing out of Sanibel today.
You do a lot of fishing in Sanibel, Coosa Hatchie, Ponarasa, all through that lower end. I mean, literally, you're one of the more traveling charter boat captains we have.
I fish all of Charlotte Harbor, legitimately all of now, Charlotte Harbor.
Do you go down to Estero Bay?
No, I do not.
Okay, but literally...
From the Sanibel Causeway to Hog Island.
Yeah, it's if you're looking for somebody to take you out and fish down around Sanibel, the Coosa Hatchie area, all the way on up through to Placida, up almost to Lemon Bay. I mean, you figure from Placida on down, Josh is... he's got the whole area kind of dialed in. I was... Quite a feat. Not many captains ever pull off being able to go that far north and south, because... If you're sitting up north, and you're listening, you say, well, from one side or the other. We're talking
40 miles or better.
It's amazing. I mean, what is it, 15 miles wide and 40-some miles long altogether?
Yeah.
People forget that Sanibel is part of Charlotte Harbor.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely it is.
It's all part of our Charlotte Harbor system, and this is a big place.
It's a huge place.
One of the reasons people come here from all over the world is because of the diversity of fishing, diversity of habitats, diversity of fish. I think we have more different types of fish here than almost anywhere I've ever been.
Yeah.
I mean, there's dozens of species possible. We just got the sharks now coming in. You notice how you do hand gestures while you're talking on the radio?
And nobody can see them except for me and you.
And I'm sitting here going like this and like this. I'm like, I'm moving my hands around like, you know, yeah, okay, I'm going to get these. Here, look at my hand.
We got to get one of those wasp cams up in the corner here and then pull it back.
Oh, it's coming. Oh,
that's going to be scary.
Do we got some cool stuff for the people coming? I mean, we have got videos. We're going to have, you know, our own. Wait till you guys see what's coming over the next
Don't
year.
Tell them too much.
No, I can't. I'm not giving anybody a chance to get a heads up on me.
That's right.
But we're going to shock you this year. We're going to have some of the coolest stuff you've ever seen. By the end of this year...
We may literally shock you if we don't get this electrical.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. If you're an electrician, help! I got to call somebody today. Oh, man, this is tough. But anyway... So what's your game plan for today? You're going down to Sanibel.
I'm going down to Sanibel today. I've got dad and four kids.
Those are the fun ones.
So we're going to go trout fishing. But the trout fishing has been pretty good down there. So
any idea the kids are mixed? Boys, girls? How young are they?
Three girls and one boy, 9 to 13.
All right.
They were busy. Somebody needs a TV.
Somebody needs not to stop the hotel on the way back from the hospital is what they got to do. Let's celebrate.
Exactly. So we're gonna be good time. There's a lot of little bonnet heads down there, and some nice trout and pompano and jacks, and we'll keep the kids.
I'll tell you what, I'll loan you three of the pink rods you can take with you.
There we go.
I'll give you one of the little kids rods, and we'll give you a couple of the full size rods. Because you got a 9-year-old, right?
Yeah.
So we'll do one of the short ones and two of the longer ones. And that way the girls, they're just going to get a kick.
Oh, yeah. That'll be good.
They get to fish pink. I can't wait till the end of this month. After all this time, months and months of designing and planning and doing all this, our rods are almost here. I'm getting bills.
Awesome.
I'm getting bills. Once I start,
if you start getting bills, they got to get
more money. Yeah, then I know they're close. So, yeah, I'm getting there. It's only a few thousand dollars yet, and we'll have them.
Good.
But anyway, say hi to your girlfriend.
Good morning, Melissa.
Fiance, girlfriend?
Not yet.
Girlfriend?
She's working on that.
She's working on that? She is a sweetheart, though. She really is.
Yep.
You know, we do a lot of get-togethers, and we've got one coming up. We've got to do an after-the-sale get-together.
We need to.
Oh, yeah, we got to do that. I really need to relax. Yeah. Yeah, I take little sips to... because of my motor tremor disorders, you know, but that's medicinal, and it's little tiny sips, but I'm ready for an actual swallow or two.
Yes. I hear you.
I really don't want to have to sip at it. I think I really want to swallow a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm ready for the pirate ship.
Good.
So anyway, I'm going to try and take a couple days off next week. We're going to get the pirate ship all ready and fire that sucker up again.
Sounds good.
But anyway, I think that's about where we're going to... I can't think of anything else. Can you?
Nope.
So I guess we're going
to... I think I got to get shrimp and go to Fort Myers.
Yeah, I think you need to get out of here. So get the producer to play a little music. Get us out of here. Any last words, Josh?
Nope. Everybody get out there and have fun. Weather's going to be good this weekend.
It's going to be beautiful.
It's going to be beautiful.
Go out. Enjoy yourselves.
Stay out of my way, though.
When you see Josh coming over, slide a bit. Let him in. Let him have a couple of fish. Just slide a bit. Wave him in. Say, come on, Josh. You're going to have these over here. So, anyway, we'll see you guys on the next Radio Fishing. Fishing Frank and Captain Josh. And click on his link. Follow it to all his cool stuff. And it's by link, I mean just click on his picture right next to the... where you clicked on to listen to this. I don't know, but you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Where his picture is, you click on that and everything works. We'll see you later, guys. Bye-bye. Boy, I'm going fishing just to ease my mind.